The New York City Housing Authority is a behemoth organization. 11,000 employees work for NYCHA, and 500,000 people live in the authority's 334 developments scattered citywide. For years, NYCHA has struggled with huge deficits, dilapidated properties, and spikes in crime. The last chairman was a former Wall Street investment banker. The de Blasio administration has chosen a former affordable housing executive to replace him. As WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez reports, Shola Olatoye is 39 years old and now runs the largest public housing authority in the country.
Hey, what's going on here? What's happening?
What's happening, Mayor? You know.
Yeah, you guys have what you need.
Yes.
So staffing.
Yes.
Mending the authority's relationships with tenants and employees is one of Shola Olatoye's main objectives. Since March, when she started, she's been meeting as many people as possible and listening.
Have you worked with Kevin?
No, we're actually with Sheila.
Sheila, okay,
yeah.
That's right.
She's been to 8 town hall meetings so far, and on a steamy day in East Harlem, she visited employees at the Wagner Houses.
We are literally in your
welcome.
House.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Olatoye is dressed to the nines. She asks the men about staffing levels, listens to complaints about a lack of weekend workers, and with 2 caretakers, she brought up the sensitive subject of round-the-clock shifts.
Like a hospital. You know how a hospital has a night shift and evening, morning shift?
Well, so, I don't really know how that would work because I don't think we have enough staff. Yeah,
okay. Caretaker Rayvon Watson was skeptical, and so was co-worker Christina Claret, who grew up in public housing and still lives in a nearby development. She questioned how NYCHA could afford 24-hour operations.
You'd rather get more people than to pay the people that you have already.
But Olatoye believes creating 24-hour shifts would cut down on overtime costs while providing better services.
My goal is to ensure that there are more people at the development, right?
Mm-hmm.
The conversation was candid. Neither worker seemed convinced, but they did seem charmed. Olatoye told them about her family. She said her father was Nigerian, but she was born in Connecticut and her mother in Brooklyn. And now she lives in Harlem, 5 blocks away.
But it takes leaders who are committed to making things happen now.
Olatoye was there to announce, along with the mayor, a $210 million infusion of funds to help make some of the most dangerous developments safer.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Several seniors had gathered for the event, including Tenant Association President Katie Harris.
How long have you been the TA president?
26 years.
Oh, my goodness. God bless.
26 years.
And what's changed over in that time?
The biggest change, I think, is that our seniors fear of participating. The crews, the gangs, the youths against youths. You know, and my philosophy is, if you kill each other, what generation are we going to have?
The mayor's plan involves more police presence, better lighting for developments, and also more social services, including home visits from police who will check on crime victims. 20% of crime in the city happens at public housing, even though NYCHA makes up just 4% of the total population. Just last month, a mentally ill man killed a 6-year-old boy inside a NYCHA elevator. Olatoye and the Housing Authority quickly came under scrutiny for not installing cameras at the development fast enough. It's an old problem that always goes back to the same issue, a slow-moving city bureaucracy that ties up limited funds. Olatoye will need to navigate deftly through it. At Wagner Houses, Katie Harris wants to do her part by organizing a basketball game between staff and the NYPD.
You have courts, actually, so you could do
it. We have one over there.
Okay.
And it really needs a lot of work done on
it. It still needs work?
Okay. Back at her Lower Manhattan office, Olatoye says she's been familiarizing herself with all the developments. She's visited 40 of them so far, including First Houses, the city's first public housing built on the Lower East Side.
It's beautiful. I've visited other places that would make your skin crawl. And the reality is no one deserves or should live like that.
Much of the public housing in the U.S. has either been demolished or sold to private development. NYCHA's massive real estate portfolio consists of everything from 3-story brownstones on the Upper West Side to brutalist structures in the Bronx.
The kind of institution that would create this kind of portfolio is one that we don't see that anymore, right?
Olatoye says the scale is humbling and worth fighting for.
It is an asset that is worth preserving, but there's no question that there are tremendous challenges before us, and I'm really excited to have the opportunity to try and tackle some of them.
Most of the city's public housing stock was built between 1940 and 1960, and much of it has not been kept up. At one point, the authority had a backlog of more than 400,000 unfinished repairs. Today, officials say the number is down to 80,000. The problem is mostly due to diminishing funds from the federal government. Since 2001, the Housing Authority has lost nearly $2 billion. To make up for that, it needs to raise revenue. The Bloomberg administration plan was to lease land to private developers who would build mostly market-rate housing. The de Blasio administration scrapped the plan, but it's still considering leasing land, only this time for affordable housing for seniors.
That is certainly something that we'll have a conversation with our residents about.
Olatoye says more than a third of NYCHA residents are 62 or older.
And in fact, something that we've already done. We worked with an organization in Queens, in Council Towers, to do exactly that, which is to build affordable housing for seniors in the community as well as NYCHA residents that have on-site services.
That project does not generate much revenue. But Olatoye says raising money isn't the only answer. There's also cutting costs, such as overtime. And she wants NYCHA to become more of a city agency instead of a standalone entity that duplicates many of the functions the city already has. For instance, it has its own design and construction division, and so does the city. NYCHA also paid for its own policing until the mayor granted the authority a reprieve this year from a $70 million bill due to the NYPD.
It is a huge investment on behalf of the mayor and the council to allow us to use those resources to, you know, focus on our core business, which is, you know, fixing stuff.
Advocates have been calling for the city to pay for the police since 2006, arguing, among other things, that private landlords also have police patrolling their buildings, but without having to pay for it. Olatoye hopes the mayor will make the arrangement permanent. In the meantime, back at Wagner House's Carmen Narvaez says the plaster in her bathroom keeps falling down. She says they fix something only to have it fall apart again because they're not addressing the larger problem, a leaky roof. But as any homeowner knows, fixing an entire roof is a costly repair, especially for a cash-strapped housing authority that regularly runs tens of millions of dollars in the red. After listening to tenants and employees, NYCHA says it will put out a plan by the end of the year that will lay out just how it will improve the living conditions for its 500,000 residents and make itself viable again. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.